Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Special edition of Catholic Answers Live today. Open forum both hours on a Wednesday. That's right. Open forum both hours on a Wednesday. First hour, we have Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers Live. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Si.
And second hour, Tim Staples will be in here. And that open forum means that you are welcome to ask any question you would like about the Catholic faith or anything having to do with morality, ethics, even philosophical questions are welcome. You do not have to be Catholic to call. 888-318-7884 is that number. You do want to start dialing, however, if you'd like to get in, because these lines fill up very quickly on open forum days. 888-318-7884. And also lots of other stuff to talk about, Jimmy. We had a magnificent day in here yesterday.
So I heard, yeah.
Yeah, and Chris Check was just in here telling us that they've got the whole building wired to take phone calls today, everybody.
Right. What that means, now normally we have customer service representatives who take phone calls and help people when they're making donations. The way to do that, by the way, just to get the number out there for people so they can start calling immediately is 888-291-8000. You can also go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and make a donation online. But we've had a limitation in our phone system that prevented the calls from going to more than a certain number of people. And we just got word that today we're able to overcome that limitation. So actually, everybody in the building is going to be helping out. We've got almost 50 employees here at Catholic Answers. You could end up talking to having your donation taken by the president, Chris Check. You could end up having your donation taken by Tim Ryland, the editor of Catholic Answers magazine, or Tim Staples, head of apologetics. So there are any number of people out there who are making their time available to make it easy for you to donate to Catholic Answers, which is something we really need.
Because
unexpectedly, we were not expecting this. Yesterday we had a
$20,000 match,
right,
that we had to use all of it in order to
so if we failed to raise the $20,000, we would not get the full $20,000.
Right, we would get whatever we had raised.
And today the same thing has happened. So
we did not know. We had no idea yesterday that someone would make that available to us today.
Right. But we had a very generous donor who did. And so today we have another $20,000 goal we need to meet in order to get the $20,000 match. So if let's say we only made $17,000, well, in that case, the donor would only give us $17,000. So when you give today, your donation will be doubled up to $20,000. That will be extra money that we will have that we would not otherwise have. So we need you to give us a call. The number is 888-291-8000. You can also go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and make your donation safely and securely online on our secured online server. And we're also going to be answering questions in this hour because we want to keep doing the normal work of Catholic Answers Live. But we do need you to call. We only have a very limited amount of time during the year where we fundraise. I mean, it's basically 6 hours every 3 months.
Yeah.
And we're already entering the third hour this time. So two of those hours are gone. We've got 2 hours today. I'm going to be doing the first one. Tim Staples is going to be with you, Si, during the second one. And so the amount of time we have is very limited. We've got the challenge we need you to help us meet. We particularly want to hear from you if you're a new donor, someone who's been listening to Catholic Answers Live for a while, but you haven't called in and helped support the program yet. Now's the time to do that. Also, if you're a returning donor, if you're someone who's supported in the past but hasn't been able to in a while, now is the time. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, the number is 888-291-8000, and the website is CatholicAnswersRadio.com. CatholicAnswers.com. We'd love to hear from you right now. We have all of the employees of Catholic Answers standing by waiting to take your call. So please give us a call.
888-291-8000 is that number. And part of the reason that we say, that Jimmy says in particular, we do want to reach out to those who have not given before to Catholic Answers Live is we know that per radio tower that we are on across the nation and the world, we have about 13 supporters per tower. And that allows us to do a certain amount.
Right.
And,
but we know we've got way more listeners than 13 per tower.
That's right. Way more listeners. And what's amazing about that is if we can even just get that up to, say, 16 or 17, mm-hmm. I mean, it would be an enormous blessing if we got it up to 20 per mm-hmm. tower. It would allow us to do a great deal more with the resources that we have and add resources in order to share the good news. To evangelize and provide answers.
Including new radio and video efforts.
Like, yeah.
Because we're now streaming Catholic Answers Live online. You can watch the show as we do it. We have additional shows like Catholic Answers Focus, Catholic Answers More. We have other ideas that we've been talking about, but we haven't been able to pull the trigger on yet. Your support makes all of that possible. So by all means, today is the day we need to hear from you. 888-291-8000. That's 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
And as Jimmy said, we are going to do our usual work here. We don't want to take – Jimmy, you said we take about 6 hours, but I suppose it's even just a small chunk of those
really
6 hours.
Really a small chunk of that.
So we want to make sure we get to – because it's open forum today, we want to make sure that we get to as many questions as we can. And again, I will remind you, you don't have to be Catholic to call. We welcome any call. We go now to Domenico in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Domenico, you are on with Jimmy Akin. What's your question?
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. So my question has to do with the infallibility of the church.
Okay.
And in particular, my girlfriend saw a movie called The Sultan and the Saint. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Right now.
But basically in this movie, it was saying that the Pope, you know, how could the Pope be infallible if he is going out and commanding, you know, his church to go and kill the Muslims? And I wanted to know if there was some real historical background you can give me on the Crusades and other scandals that have happened throughout the church's history that could defend the papacy. Because
okay.
I'm Catholic, but she is not.
Okay. There are several things to understand here. First of all, the Pope didn't say go kill Muslims. That's not what the Crusades were about. This was not a genocide effort. What had happened was there were various holy sites. I mean, the Middle East was Christian, and there were holy sites in Palestine, like Jerusalem, Bethlehem, places like that, that were very meaningful to the Christian faith and that Christians had been visiting for centuries as pilgrims on, you know, to worship God and to be close to the places that were part of our Lord's life and to make a special effort to go there as a way of honoring God. And then in the 600s, the Muslim community began, it really began in the 500s, but in the 600s, it began conquering vast swaths of Christian territory and, frankly, subjugating a lot of Christians and making them second-class citizens. They either had to renounce their faith or they had to pay special taxes. There was a lot of mistreatment of Christians. And what happened was in Europe, there was a desire to come to the defense of the Christians in the East as much as possible, and in particular to come to the defense of the holy sites that are part of our religion, like Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Nazareth, and to secure those holy sites to provide access, continued access for Christian pilgrims. And so that was the motive of the Crusades. It wasn't let's go kill Muslims. It had an entirely different and frankly more defensive motive. So there's likely to be some distortion in the sources that your friend has encountered. In addition, in terms of infallibility, infallibility doesn't mean the Pope doesn't make mistakes or that everything the Pope says is right. The infallibility of the Church only means that under certain conditions, Christ will protect his Church from teaching error. And that's something that is, based on Scripture's teaching that intimately links the church with the truth. In Paul's epistles, for example, he describes the church of the living God as the pillar and foundation of truth. And he's given the church the Holy Spirit to guide the church. And in spite of human frailty, we know that God can, in special occasions, protect someone from teaching error. For example, he did that with the authors of the New Testament. In fact, he even went further than just protecting them from error. In that case, he also divinely inspired them, which is even beyond a grace, even beyond being protected from error. So the church merely claims that as a result of its mission in the world to preach the truth, in special circumstances, when the church solemnly binds the faithful to believe something, that he will give the church the grace not to teach an error in those cases. But that doesn't mean the Pope or bishops in general are never going to make mistakes or always do the right thing or always say the right thing. Just look at the first Pope, St. Peter. He made a bunch of mistakes. And the New Testament's very honest about that. He even denied Jesus. But that didn't also stop him from, on two occasions that we know about in particular, serving as the inspired and therefore infallible author of two letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And so just like God could use the first Pope, Peter, in spite of his frailties and in spite of his mistakes, he could empower him as a teacher on specific occasions to guarantee that he was teaching the truth. And just like God could do that for St. Peter, he can do that for later popes as well. And that's the church's understanding. If you'd like to read more about that, as well as other objections that your friend may be encountering, I'd suggest my book, A Daily Defense. It has bite-sized answers covering the papacy and a lot of other subjects, including various problematic incidents in church history. So I'd suggest getting a copy of that.
Thank you so much, Domenico, for that call. Let's go real quickly now to Steve in Presque Isle, Maine, listening on WEGT. Steve, you are on with Jimmy Akin. What's your question?
Thank you. Jimmy, I have a question, a statement and then a question. A universal God should have revealed a universal religion. Why didn't he?
Okay, he did. He revealed the Christian faith, which is something he wants every human being to have in its fullness. It is a universal religion.
Well, I can think of a lot of world religions that outnumber Christianity.
Really? That outnumber it? In terms of membership?
Christianity is number one, but Christianity is about a third of the world population.
Correct. So it's the largest religion. It's spread all over the world. It seems like there's something underneath your statement that may be your genuine concern, because Christianity is a universal religion. It is something that's meant for all people. Now, obviously, not all people are Christians, so not everybody adheres to this religion, even though it has a universal orientation. The only way that God could make a religion universal was if he took away people's free will and forced them to be of a certain religion. Is that what you're proposing God should do?
I guess that's the answer, isn't it?
Okay. Well, your question really turns into a question about free will. Why does God allow free will? And it's a question that theologians and philosophers have thought a lot about. One of the leading seems intuitive that we all have free will. We all have an experience of what it's like to make choices where we know we could have chosen something else. So free will seems to be a universal part of the human experience, and we can then ask the question, well, why would God allow it? And the leading theory on that is God allows free will of a certain type in order to allow people to freely choose love. And if he in this life didn't give us the option to decide, will we love him and will we love our neighbor, then there would be something diminished about humanity. We would be kind of like robots. We might be doing the right thing, objectively speaking, but we wouldn't be doing it freely. And so we would, in essence, just be puppets. And some people have proposed, well, if you don't have that kind of freedom, if you can't freely choose love, then you really don't have love. You have maybe the going through the motions of love, but you don't have the authentic, genuine substance. And so if I don't know if Steve, if you have a spouse, but obviously if you did, you'd want your spouse to love you. You'd want your spouse to love you freely and not just because your spouse was programmed to go through the motions of loving you. And so in the same way, God wants us to love him. He wants us to love our neighbor. Those are the two great commandments, love of God and love of neighbor, and they require the exercise of free will in order for them to be done in the full and proper way. And so that's the basic explanation for why God allows free will. And then from the fact that free will is allowed, some people may reject God. They may follow other religions. Now, that may happen through no fault of their own. And they may be just raised a certain way where they, for example, never hear about Jesus. But in those circumstances, God knows it's not their fault and he won't hold them accountable. And so we see the balance in God's approach to this of giving us a universal religion, a message that's meant for all of mankind, but also allowing human freedom and thus the possibility of genuine love, and also allowing understanding for those cases where someone, through no fault of their own, doesn't end up believing in the message, so that there can still be mercy and grace for people who are innocently unaware of what the revealed religion is. God can still make it possible for those people to receive his grace and mercy.
Thank you very much for that, Steve. It is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Jimmy Akin is our guest, and any question you've got on the life, history, faith, traditions of the Catholic Church are welcome. You don't have to be Catholic to call, and it's time to go to a break. But we're not going to go to a break today. We're going to take a few minutes just to remind you that we have a $20,000
matching grant
today.
If we don't get $20,000 today, we don't get the matching grant, or at least not all of it.
Right.
So we really need you to call in. We've actually rewired our phone system so that everybody in the building is going to be available to take your calls. We really need to hear from you. We've gone to that extent of rewiring our phone system so that everybody can be available. We want to make it as easy as possible for you to support us. Now's the time we need to hear from you. Maybe you've been thinking about it for a while. You know, you may have heard previous radio drives and, you know, maybe even have had the intention of calling in or the impulse to call in, but it didn't end up happening. And that can be understandable. I know I myself, if I don't do something when I'm thinking about it, I'm human, I can forget. And the same is true of all of us. But now's the time where we do come on the air and we spend just a few minutes telling you about our financial needs. Here at Catholic Answers, we're running a nonprofit organization, and that means that we're doing apostolic work that needs to be supported by more than just the forces of the marketplace. It needs to be supported by people's generosity. That's why we have nonprofits, is to subsidize organizations that do good in the world, but that otherwise wouldn't be able to do their work due to market forces alone without donor generosity. And so to encourage donors to be generous to organizations like Catholic Answers that are doing good, you're allowed to take a tax break in exchange for your donation. That's one of the things. Even our government recognizes that people need to support the work of nonprofits. And how much more does that apply to a nonprofit like Catholic Answers, which is all about bringing the message of Jesus Christ to the world? And when I say the world, I'm not being figurative. We have listeners all over the world. We have listeners in Singapore and in Malaysia and in Russia and in China and in Japan. We hear from them. Sometimes they call in on the show. Sometimes they email us. Sometimes they comment on Facebook. Recently, we began simulcasting on Facebook, streaming the program live there, and we see people checking in from all over the world in the comments. Some people are listening to us in the Middle East, in Muslim countries where it's not safe to be a Christian, and we're still getting the Christian message through to them. So that's the kind of work we're doing, and that's why we need your support. The number to call is 888 291-8000. And if you're online, if anywhere in the world, you don't have to be here in America. You can also support us by going to the website, CatholicAnswersRadio.com. So we have two very easy, convenient, safe ways for you to support the program. You can either call 888-291-8000, or you, if you're here in the U.S. and Canada, or anywhere in the world, you can go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and make your donation online. Whichever way you prefer to do it, now's when we really need to hear from you. And thank you very much in advance for your support.
888-291-8000 is that number. CatholicAnswersRadio.com is the web address. 888-291-8000. And I do invite you to make that call. And it's really exciting what's happening here these days at Catholic Answers. It's exciting to get an email at night saying someone said they'll give us sponsor $20,000 more tomorrow.
It shows how much they value they see in the work we're doing.
Exactly. And, you know, not to be overly graphic, but the pornographers aren't taking a break, and the atheist websites are not taking a break, and the secularist movements are not taking a break. We can't take a break. We can't lighten up. We have to be in all those places where young people are gathering online, where people are listening to a radio, where people are on television. We have to be in all those places with a very, very simple message, the message that God so loved the world. And you know that message. Well, we want everyone to know it, and not just know it in a theoretical way, but know the power that that has in lives, and know that it's completely consistent with an intellectually vibrant life, so that people can really get their questions answered. That's what Catholic Answers is all about. 888-291-8000 is that number. Please call. We have that $20,000 match today. We would like to use up every single dollar of it. It's an extraordinary opportunity for us. They don't come along twice in a row very often, and we're very, very grateful for it. 888-291-8000. Shall we take another call?
Let's please.
Michael in Pasadena, Texas, listening on 1430 AM Guadalupe Radio. You are on with Jimmy Akin. What's your question?
Hi there. Recently, I've started to listen to the Acts of the Apostles, and I was curious about a certain chapter and some verses, and I'm just a little curious on what the author was trying to get across.
Okay.
And it's in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and it deals with, I believe the people's names are Ananias and
Sapphira.
Sapphira, his husband and wife,
and
Peter. And basically, when I've read it, it seems like they sold some property or something, and they gave some of the proceeds to the apostles, but not all of it.
Correct.
And so then Peter talks to Ananias, and he says, "Hey, you did this, and basically, what's going on here?" And he says, "Well, he gave his whatever his reasons were."
Mm-hmm.
And Peter, basically, the guy dies right there all of a sudden.
Right.
It seems like. And then shortly later, he speaks to the guy's wife, and same story. She gives him Peter, and she dies.
Right.
So I'm just kind of like confused.
Okay.
What's going on there?
What's happening here is Ananias and Sapphira have sold a piece of property and then lied about it. They said, "We sold it for this amount, and we're giving you all of that money." But in reality, they sold it for more than that amount, and they kept some of the money for themselves. Now, they were entitled to do that. They could have sold it and said, "Okay, we're going to give the church 50% of the proceeds, and we're going to keep 50% of the proceeds." Peter makes the point that it was your own property. You could do what you want with it. So it wasn't selling the property or keeping the money that was the problem. The problem was they lied about it, and they lied in a holy context. Peter tells them, "You have not lied to men, but to God." And so that was the essence of their sin. And as a result of that lie, at least in this particular situation, now most of the time, fortunately, for us sinners, when we tell a lie, we don't have these kinds of consequences. But on this occasion, God allowed in his providence them both to die. And that sends a very powerful signal about the gravity of human sin, particularly when it involves sacrilege, when it involves lying to God or other similar direct offenses against God in holy matters. And so that's the basic understanding of the passage. It's obviously a very powerful passage and one that people have questions about, but that's the basic understanding.
Thank you very much, Michael, and thank you to all of you who have called and supported Catholic Answers Live today or yesterday, but we need those of you who are on the fence or just haven't gotten around to it, please give a call because we have that $20,000 match, 888-291-8000.
Catholic Answers Live would like to take this opportunity to thank our partners in airing our daily program. Please support the stations and networks that carry us each day, ensuring that we have a platform for broadcasting the show. And please bear in mind that while we do not have to pay for airtime on our affiliate stations, neither do they contribute to the operating costs we incur. It's a great relationship, but it requires that we turn to you, our devoted listeners, for your prayers and financial support to cover our ever-growing expenses. Please call 888-291-8000 right now and help to keep Catholic Answers Live strong. That's 888-291-8000. Or you can donate securely online at CatholicAnswersRadio.com. What began as a humble one-hour daily show that was carried by four radio stations has, with the generosity of many fantastic people like you, blossomed into a two-hour broadcast heard on hundreds of AM and FM stations, the Internet, Sirius XM Radio, Facebook, YouTube, and via podcast. We don't make that possible. You do. We simply cannot continue this media mission without your most generous gift today. Call 888-291-8000 or log on to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and donate now. People tell us all the time how much they depend on Catholic Answers Live to help them better learn, live, and share their faith. What they're really saying is they depend on you for that. Will you come through for them right now? It only takes a couple of minutes to make a huge difference at 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Again, 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. No matter how much you give, be assured of our gratitude and know that God will richly bless you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. It's important that you take this important step right now, today, to make sure that Catholic Answers Live is here tomorrow and for years to come. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live Open Forum today, a special edition of Open Forum. Jimmy Akin, first hour, Tim Staples, second hour. And Open Forum means we really welcome your questions. We'll let you set the agenda. Any question you've got on the life or faith of the Catholic Church, and you don't have to be Catholic to call. That number I will give out again because the lines do stay quite full. If you want to get on the call-in line, 888-318-7884. But we're going to take a couple more minutes here because we have this really exciting thing that has happened to us. I mean, having $20,000 as a match is exciting one day. To have it happen 2 days in a row is extraordinary.
Yeah. Yesterday, we didn't know that we were going to have this match, but there is a donor who very generously has made a matching grant of $20,000. If we can raise $20,000 in matching donations today, he will double that. He will give us another $20,000. But that means the pressure's on, because if we don't raise $20,000 today, he won't give us $20,000. And so, you know, it's matched dollar for dollar. So if we only made $10,000 today, he'd give us $10,000. But if we can make the $20,000, which we should be able to do, I mean, this is not unreasonable. We have a lot of people in the audience, including a lot of people who've never donated before,
right,
but who listen all the time, who get benefit from the program. It's touched them emotionally. It's satisfied them intellectually. It's helped them spiritually grow closer to God. We have the people out there who are able to help us meet that $20,000 challenge and thus get their donations doubled. So this is the time we really need to hear from you. In fact, there are people out there right now who could donate, you know, $1,000 or $10,000 or even another $20,000. They might want to set up a matching challenge for tomorrow. So there are a lot of possibilities, but now's the time we have to hear from you in order to make those possibilities realities. The number is 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000. Doesn't cost you anything. We've even rewired our phone system today so that people all over the building are going to be helping take your order. You might have your donation taken by our president, Chris Check, or by Tim Staples, the director of apologetics, or by any number of other people here. We're all waiting to make it easy for you to support the work that we do on Catholic Answers Live and by Catholic Answers in general. But we have to hear from you today. The number, 888-291-8000. Please don't put it off and think, oh, I'll do it later. I know, you know what they say about good intentions and what they pave.
Yes. Well, I'm in big trouble. I'm in big trouble.
I was going to say, me too, because I know what good intentions often lead to in my own case. Right. I may think I'm going to do something, I'm planning on doing it, and it doesn't happen if I don't do it when I'm thinking about it. So now's the time to be generous and support the spiritual work that Catholic Answers is doing, the extension of the message of Jesus Christ. And God will bless you for that. That's something that, you know, St. Paul teaches in his epistles, that God loves a cheerful giver. And that's something I'm sure we'll be talking about more. But today, because we have this special $20,000 matching grant where your dollars will be doubled up to $20,000 and won't be doubled if you don't donate, we really need to hear from you. 888-291-8000, or you can go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com, whether you're here in America or anywhere else in the world. You know, we have a lot of listeners all over the world. We need to hear from you too if you benefit from this program. So thank you very much for all of your generosity, and let's meet that goal.
888-291-8000 is that number, 888-291-8000. And Jimmy, you were before we go back to calls, I'll just mention this. You were mentioning there are folks who are very blessed and can give $1,000,
yeah,
$5,000. I mean, obviously, because we have this donor who gave us $20,000.
That
go
demonstrates
out
and, the point.
Right.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention that if you are able to give at that level of $1,000 or $5,000, all $1,000 gifts automatically put you in the President's Club here.
Oh, true.
And then there's receptions for the President's Club, and then products. You get free products from the apostolate throughout the year, and a free subscription to the magazine. All those things come with that. So giving today is just like giving on any other day, in that sense that if you are able to make a $1,000 donation, you're part of the President's Club. The Founders Circle, the benefits are even beyond that, and including a Founders Weekend that they have every year.
Even if you're not able to give $1,000, we have things that we'd like to send you as thank yous for your generosity, and they'll be more than happy to tell you about those when you call in. Also, I want to mention some of the people who've been calling in. This is only a partial list, but I want to say thank you to Carolyn in Texas, who's donated $100. I want to say thank you to Marcy in California, who's donating $25 a month. So that's adds up to, what, $300 a year? And that's very generous. We appreciate that. Andrew in Louisiana is giving $100 a month. Thank you to these people and to everyone who is responding and helping us meet that $20,000 matching grant today, because if we don't make it today, we don't make it.
888-291-8000 is the number. It's a simple number, 888-291-8000, and it goes quickly. You know, they're not going to tie you up for a long time on this. They'll work you through it quite quickly to secure that donation. We're very, very grateful for it. You can give a monthly pledge, you can give a one-time donation, but every dollar that is pledged or given today is going to be matched dollar for dollar up to $20,000. 888-291-8000. We go now to Chad in Mukwanago, Wisconsin, listening on Catholic.com. Chad, you are on with Jimmy Akin. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So my question is about books that Protestants don't include in their Bible. I believe referred to the Apocrypha or Apocryphal writings. A common reasoning seems to be, you know, they say that like the Old Testament canon, it makes sense what they have, because they're recorded by the prophets, where the New Testament is recorded, you know, by the apostles, and Jesus and the apostles don't quote anything from those apocryphal writings. So I was curious, why does the Catholic Church include them, and why were they not considered scripture officially till the Council of Trent in the 1500s?
Okay.
I'm definitely open to your answer on this, guys. And if I have anything wrong, please correct me as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
There are a number of things to say there. And one of them is, for more information, I'd suggest going to Catholic.com because we have a lot of information about this. In particular, I've got information in my book, A Daily Defense, that covers this in significant detail. But as well as a lot of other things, the books actually were recognized as scripture prior to the Council of Trent. They were widely recognized as scripture prior to the Council of Trent. What happened at Trent is that common understanding that was just shared across Christendom was made infallible. And the reason it was made infallible at Trent is because this was when the doctrine got challenged. The Protestant community came along and said, we don't like these books. And so that raised the question in a very forceful way of, well, are they scripture or not? And the church reaffirmed its traditional teaching that, yes, they are. Similarly, I mean, this is what frequently happens at ecumenical councils. Like in the very first ecumenical council in the year 325, it was called First Nicaea. And at that council, there had been prior to the council, there had been a challenge arise to the divinity of Christ. There was a priest from Alexandria, Egypt, named Arius, who said, well, Jesus wasn't really God. He was a kind of a super angel. And that conflicted with the church's traditional teaching. And so at the Council of First Nicaea, the church infallibly reaffirmed what had already been the common teaching, that Jesus was in fact God and not just an angel. And in the same way, when the Protestant reformers started to challenge these books, the church then infallibly reaffirmed its traditional understanding that, yes, they are in fact scripture. So that's a kind of general summary of what happened. Are there particular aspects that you'd like me to go further into at the moment?
No, I don't think so. I think that covers my question.
Okay.
It's just interesting because that's like a common, you know, opposition that you hear. So it was actually interesting to me to hear that they were actually recognized before Trent, and it was made infallible as a response to the challenge from the reformers. So
right. Now, I should point out, not everybody before Trent accepted them, but that was the general understanding. And when the Protestant reformers then challenged the general understanding in a very forceful way, that's what prompted the definition. Like I said, if you want to read more about that, we've got more at Catholic.com, and also check out my book, A Daily Defense.
Thanks very much for that, Chad. And welcome again to everybody watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope. We're really happy to have you. And sometimes, as you know, Jimmy, we get questions typed in there.
Yep.
Jeanette on Facebook Live asks, did Catholics always receive the Eucharist, or did only the priest in the early church?
Well, Catholics have always received the Eucharist. Now, that doesn't mean every individual Catholic receives the Eucharist on all occasions. I mean, today, not everybody at Mass goes and receives communion, because there are people who, they may have committed a sin, they want to go to confession first, or even need to go to confession first. They may not have fasted for an hour before receiving communion. So there are various requirements that somebody has to meet. But all the way through church history, it's been understood that the faithful could and should receive the Eucharist as often as it's reasonable for them to do so. In different ages of church history, there have been different regulations that pertain to that. For example, for a number of centuries, it was more common for the laity to receive under the form of bread rather than under the form of wine. That's something that has been a practice that's changed over time. Ultimately, it doesn't matter, because you're receiving all of Jesus either way. But that would be an example of a regulation that's varied with time. But fundamentally, it's been understood that at some time during their life, and hopefully many times during their lives, all Christians should receive the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist, and that's always been the case.
Thank you so much, Jeanette, and thank you again to everybody watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope. And I will address you and everybody listening. We do have some urgency today with this match of $20,000. Catholic Answers Live comes to you about four times a year. As Jimmy was pointing out, it's only 6 hours each time we come to you. And we don't even use the whole 6 hours. We use most of it to do what we always do. So we come to you for just a few moments each hour to ask you to support the work that Catholic Answers Live is doing. And we are not ashamed to do that at all, because we do fully and vigorously believe that what Catholic Answers Live is about following the Lord's Great Commission to go and make disciples of all the nations. And so that we're in the business of answering questions and doing so as faithfully as we can to the Master himself, the Lord. And so if you are near a phone, give us a call, 888-291-8000. Help us use up the entire $20,000 match today. We didn't know it was going to happen today. We got through a $20,000 match yesterday. It's an exciting time. Please make this your opportunity to support the work of Catholic Answers Live. 888-291-8000, or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
And when you do that, you become part of the team. You're not just an isolated person out there. You're actually a team member. You become a member of what we call the Radio Club. So you're a club insider at that point. You'll get special information about the club, including special content that you create, Cy.
Yep.
That
sometimes video, and but always at least something written every week. Yeah,
and so you know, we want to give you additional benefit when you support Catholic Answers Live, and that includes some very specific thank yous that we have. Cy, are you able to tell us about some of those?
For those who are able to make a pledge of $18 a month, the first thing, that entire pledge will go towards the match. So every dollar of it will be doubled dollar for dollar. But we are also able at that level to send you two really truly beautiful books. The first, Cardinal Robert Sarah, who wrote a bestseller, a worldwide bestseller, God or Nothing, a few years ago. This is
I picked God.
Nice job, Jimmy. Did you read the book, or did you just?
No, I have free will though.
Nice going. I'm glad to hear you exercised your free will in that. I'm going to go with God as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, like it's a quiz question or something.
Yeah.
I pick God. The Power of Silence is the new book by Cardinal Robert Sarah, and we'd like to send you that if you're able to make a pledge of $18 a month. And we'd also like to send you Surprised by Life, the latest book from Patrick Madrid. And you all know Patrick Madrid. He just does a wonderful job. And so, and they're really excellent books. I mean, they just look great, and they read very well, and these are two very wise people. We'd like to send you these two books for any pledge of $18 a month or more at 888-291-8000 or at CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
And if people want to make a one-time gift that is equivalent to that, they can do that as well.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And also, I suppose another way to maybe this is the same thing, but if you're already a member of the Radio Club because you've given and you're giving $200. Any donation of $200 from a Radio Club member, which
I guess because we want to make sure that our existing Radio Club members have the opportunity to receive these as well, and that's we want to make sure that we reward everybody, including the people who are already supporting us. And thank you if you're already a member of the Radio Club, and also thank you if you're thinking about becoming a member of the Radio Club or coming back to the Radio Club. There are a lot of people out there who've been listening to the show and benefiting from it for a long time. And have been thinking, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should help support this work that's enriching my life and the lives of many other people. And the answer is, yeah, you should. So we want to make that as easy as possible. Now's the time to do it while you're thinking about it. Fulfill on those good intentions. We've got everybody in the building available to take your call and help process your donation. The number to call is 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000. Or you can go to our website, CatholicAnswersRadio.com. That'll get you directly to a place where you can support the program without having to navigate the rest of the website. We've made that specially available for you. And we'd love to hear from you, especially today while we have this $20,000 matching challenge. This is a genuine matching challenge. If we don't make $20,000 today, the donor who's made this very generous offer to us will not be sending us $20,000. We need to get your donation in order to get this matching challenge in full. Your dollars will be doubled up to $20,000. So now is the time we need to hear from you, especially if you're a new donor or a returning donor. This is your time to help us out. 888-291-8000 and CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
888-291-8000 is that number. And, you know, Jimmy started out by saying, addressing folks on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope.
Right.
And the Magnificent Kathleen. That's going to be my new name for her, the Magnificent Kathleen. She just sent me a note. Jason on YouTube just gave us $100. So
awesome.
Thank you very much, Jason.
I have a note here. Cameron from Nebraska gave us $250. So we have people calling in. This is just actually a small sliver of the people who are calling in. But we do need to hear from you, 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
And Margo on Facebook gave us $85 a month.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you, Margo.
Yeah, thank you very much. This Facebook thing is turning out to be lucrative for us.
Well,
we should stay in that business.
I'm very happy that we're able to minister to people on Facebook.
Amen.
Because so many people are on Facebook today. It's
right.
Great to be able to have an outreach directly to where people are and help them and touch their souls and help them grow closer to God.
888-291-8000 is that number. We go now to Aaron in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Aaron, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Hi, Jimmy.
Howdy.
My question is about in one of the passion narratives in the Gospels, when Peter is depicted as drawing his sword and cutting out someone's ear.
Right. That's mentioned in more than one Gospel, but he's named as the one who does it in John.
Right. So my question is, I understood that Peter was a fisherman, and to me, it's kind of an odd picture for me to picture a fish, just a regular guy carrying around a sword, and I was wondering if that's something that was commonplace in that era or if there's some special reason that he happens to have a sword on him at that time.
Well, the answer to both questions is actually yes. It both was common and there was a special reason that he had one at this time. In the ancient world, before the invention of firearms, swords were kind of the most preferred weapon. There were other weapons that you could have, like you could have a javelin or a spear, but those are really tall and hard to carry around. Swords and you could also have on the kind of the other end, lengthwise, you could have like a dagger. But daggers, in order to use a dagger, you have to kind of get close to somebody. And swords kind of were a good way of splitting the difference because you get significant reach with the sword. You don't have to get too close to the person that you're in combat with, and you can defend yourself effectively with one. So they were kind of the preferred weapon of the time, kind of like guns, would be today. A lot of people may have rifles in their homes or handguns to protect themselves. Same thing with swords. Now, Peter, when he was fishing, wouldn't have had a sword with him because
sink.
Well, swords do sink, but the real reason would be there's not a lot of threat out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It's a lake, and they needed to have room in the boat for the fish. And actually, they didn't want to be very encumbered. They actually take off their clothes and fish nude. So he wouldn't have had a sword on him on those occasions. But in situations where there was a foreseen need to defend oneself, one would have a sword. And if you look in Luke's gospel, Luke records Jesus comparing the current situation to the prior situation where he would send the apostles and others out without any provisions on preaching missions, so that as a kind of symbolic gesture, they're making themselves totally vulnerable and being totally supported by the generosity of others. But he says now is a different situation. Now we're going into a time of danger. And so he says, let him who doesn't have a sword sell his cloak and buy one. So he acknowledges the legitimate role for self-defense and for taking protection measures. And then the disciples show him two swords and say, is that enough? And he says, yeah, it's enough. He's not wanting them to get armed to the teeth, but he's wanting them to take reasonable measures to protect themselves. Unfortunately, Peter then, as due to his overly exuberant, enthusiastic nature that we see appearing in the Gospels on more than one occasion, he then tries to use force of arms to defend Jesus from being arrested, which is not what Jesus is wanting to happen. And so Jesus puts a stop to that and heals the servant of the high priest, whose name was Malchus. So that's why Peter had a sword on that occasion. It was a common thing, but he wouldn't have carried one with him all the time. But he did have a reason for carrying one right now.
Thank you very much, Aaron, for that call. We go now to Barry in Williams, Arizona, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Barry, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Hello, you there?
Yeah, we're here. So are you. What's your question?
Well, my question is this. As I read the Bible, I get into Acts, and I find out, well, Mary's there in the upper room, mm-hmm. and then after that, actually nothing's even said mm-hmm. in my New King James Version on what does she do after that, mm-hmm. because my wife's Catholic, I'm Pentecostal, uh-huh. and she tells me all these things that Mary's dead and miracles that she's did, but I never read about them in the Bible. I'm just wondering why they're not there.
Well, Mary had a very special role in God's plan, and that role was centered around Jesus. Jesus is what makes Mary special, and all of the various things that God has done for Mary were in the service of making her a special and appropriate mother for Jesus. God could have picked any mother he wanted for his son, but he chose to pick Mary and to prepare her for that role in certain special ways. But still, what's significant about her life primarily is her relationship with Jesus. And so we see her at various points in the Gospels. Very notably, we see her in the infancy narratives in Matthew and Luke, where she gives birth to Jesus. We also see her at a number of other key points, like John, for example, records that she was present when Jesus performed his first public sign at the wedding at Cana. She was also present at the very end of his ministry when he was being crucified. She actually had to watch him being crucified. But it wasn't her mission to go out and be an apostle and travel around and evangelize people the way Jesus' appointed apostles were. And so after the time of Jesus' ministry, the Christian mission was primarily carried forward by the group of men that Jesus had commissioned to go out and be his representatives and be his official witnesses and teachers, namely the apostles. And so that's why in the Acts of the Apostles, the focus shifts to focus on the apostles. And in particular, it focuses mostly on Peter and Paul. So we do see Mary a little bit at the very beginning of Acts. But because this is really a book about the apostles rather than a book about Mary, that's why the focus doesn't stay on her. Similarly, we hear a little bit about her in the epistles. You know, St. Paul, for example, talks about how Jesus was born of a woman, and he's talking about Mary there. But Mary wasn't an apostle. She wasn't an evangelist, so she didn't write epistles like Paul did. Similarly, there's some echoes of Mary in the book of Revelation. But again, this is a book about the future and what's going to happen, particularly, I would say, in the first century, but also potentially in other periods in history. It's a book of prophecy, not a book of history of Mary's life. So it's really because of the types of literature that we have, whether they're devoted to giving us the history of the apostles, or whether they're letters written by apostles, or whether it's prophecy. It's not really focusing on Mary just because of the type of literature it is. Where we really hear about Mary is in the Gospels and about Jesus's life.
Next hour, Tim Staples, more Open Forum, and we continue with our $20,000 dollar-for-dollar match, and it's a real match. If we get $20 in donations today, we get a $20,000 match for all of it.
Also, now is the perfect time to call because we're going to be off the air for a few minutes between the 2 hours, and so you won't miss anything. This is the perfect opportunity to call. Do it while you're thinking about it. The number to call, 888-291-8000. We've got everyone here standing by for you. Once again, 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
a perfect opportunity to support Catholic Answers Live, a $20,000 match, dollar for dollar. We're going into our second hour. As Jimmy said, we're heading into a break. The perfect time to call, 888-291-8000. We'll see you with more right after this on Catholic Answers Live.